Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And let's pray. Lord, help us tonight. It's been good to be in your house already. Lift our voices in song. Many are under the weather. Many are tired. Many are stressed out. Life is certainly wearisome for everybody. None of us get through unscathed. We appreciate the fact that you have organized our local church here in Palermo. We can pull off to the side of the road and just get a drink of water. Amen. And just get refreshed and recharged. And try to just encourage and be encouraged as the battle picks up, even while we're sitting here, but increases as we step out of these walls and head off into the workforce and head off into the woods and into the store and into the school systems. Y'all, we need you. That's why we're here. We don't just have a duty to fulfill, I trust, but we have a desire to hear from the Word of God. Y'all, that we are living in light of your soon return. We are living conscious of the fact that we are soon to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. And all of this world and all of this life will be over. As we are judged by not what size of work or effort we put out, but what sort of work we did. Would you help us to glean from the Scriptures tonight some word, some thought, some encouragement, that we might be good stewards of the time, good steward of the treasures and the talents you have given us, that we might be reflective of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us, that we might be good evangelists, good missionaries, that we would regularly be conscious of the souls that are crossing our paths. We'd hand out a gospel tract. We'd speak a word of witness. We'd give an invitation to a church service. We'd give so others can go beyond the reaches of our own abilities. God, give us a burden in this year, whatever portion of the year that you give us, if you return before its end, that we might increase our vision and our burden to reach the world around us and the world in its entirety with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we're going to jump right in where we left off, in part because we last Wednesday started this, and it's not on the podcast yet, but it will be soon on Podbean. And all you got to do if someone's looking for it is just type in SBC for Second Baptist Church, SBC Palermo Podcast. It should be the first Google hit in this area if your location's turned on. And then there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes on there of different preachers that have preached here, the ladies' conferences of times gone by, things like that, revival services, some special music, and they're all by title, so you can kind of guess where which message you're trying to listen to or re-listen to. If it's in a series like this, we'll do it part one, part two, so you can find it. But we said that the faith of Abraham here, like the others, required a response, and all of them are very common or similar here, where God has asked them or moved them to do something, they do it, and God fulfills his portion. And we're trying to challenge ourselves to live a life of faith. And we've said it before about faith is not the absence of fear. I think the heart can contain both faith and fear. We battle it probably on a daily basis. The faith is living for God and doing what God would have us to do, regardless of the feelings of fear that are there. And there's got to be a choice to live by faith rather than to live by fear. I'd say it's more natural to live by fear, the old nature anyway. It's easier to live by fear because that's an emotion. Faith is supernatural. We're going to need the God's help, the Spirit of God's help, to live a life of faith. And we're picking up the story of Abraham, who is that hinge point in history. God was going to use him as a vessel to get the gospel to the rest of the world. Salvation was coming from the Jews, from that lineage. And he's going to use the father of our faith, Abraham. Abraham was going to have to follow the recipe that God laid out before him. He was going to have to live the life of faith. And even in his life, not the message of tonight, but I just mentioned it a minute ago anyway, was not always a life of living high on the mountains with Isaac, a life of faith, where sure, I'll kill my kid. Sometimes he was telling his wife in fear, you better tell her you're my sister. Faith doesn't always win. And you kick yourself when fear wins and say, I can't believe I live by my emotion. Again, fear, anxiety, stress. Hey, you're in good company. There's only ever been one perfect one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the eyes of the Father, we are perfect in Christ. There's no violation of the law on our account, but sometimes we need to give ourselves a little more grace. And I know the verses that he remembers our frame, it is but dust. We need to remember that. One, that we are nothing without him, but two, we're going to mess up along the way. And I'm not for giving ourselves a license to sin. That's not what I'm saying. But if we get hung up on every time we stumble, every time we trip, and we get bound by the guilt and the shame and all of that that goes along with it, we're going to be of no service to the Lord. We're going to find ourselves out of it altogether. And if we can get there, then we ought to learn to also get there with other people. Where every time they stumble, they fall, they have a mishap, we don't come down with the hammer. We don't do everything we do just because we fear God, but the apostle said the love of Christ constrains me. That yes, I have a healthy fear of my Father in heaven, but more than I do out of duty or fear, I do it because he loved me in such a way it changed me. That's not the message, I guess, but I like it. Number one, we said Abraham's faith involved a leaving. And that's all we got to last Wednesday night. His faith involved a leaving. In Genesis 12, it says, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So God had given him a command, you're going to leave out. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your family, leave the languages you're used to. Of course, not too long prior to that, the world had divided in languages and in groups because of the tower they were trying to build, in the humanism that had entered the world. Not birthed right there. Humanism's been around since man started living for himself in the garden. But God said, you're going to have to leave the ease and leave the comfort behind. And he's kind of setting up the same principle Christ was going to teach the disciples. You've got to forsake all and follow me. And the scriptures are clear. Abraham didn't know where he was going. What he did know is God told him to go. And that was good enough for Abraham. That's some good faith. I mean, it's right in keeping here with Noah. Never seen rain. Didn't know what it was. God said there's going to be a flood. God said start building a boat. Good enough for it, Noah. God told him you're going to have to go. And he went. Their faith involved a leaving. That same principle applies to a lot of different areas, but I'd say it applies to salvation. You can't stay where you are and be saved. There is no man or woman, boy or girl that's ever lived their own life contrary to the will of God and the word of God, heading their own way down the path of sin that ends in a fiery lake, that just says, all right, I'll take Jesus Christ and tuck him in my pocket so I can skip the fire. And that's not salvation. That's wrong. I'm going to be saved. I've got to come to the end of myself and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am calling upon the name of the Lord in faith and repentance. And he translates us. He brings us out. So you can't stay where you are and be saved. He's going to change you. You can't stay how you were and still serve. There's a coming out. There's a separating that has to happen. There's a leaving that has to occur if I'm going to grow in my Christian faith and serve God like he wants me to. If God is going to be able to use my life like he wants to use my life, I'm going to have to leave some things. And ultimately, we said God was calling Abraham closer to God. And to get closer to godliness, he had to get further from worldliness. There would be no marriage that God would sign on to a holy covenant of the world and God. Worldliness, we said, is simply attitudes and actions that leave God out. How easy is that to fall into? Any area of life or thought or emotion that is just void of God. That I just did it, I thought it, I said it, I whatever. Without giving thought to God about it. Without involving God in it. That's how this world operates. Worldliness versus godliness. I said this when I was typing earlier when I got home from work today. You can't play for both teams. You can't live for yourself and the Savior. Again, they're both wrestling in there. Your flesh didn't get saved when you were born again. Your spirit was quickened. Our flesh still battles with wickedness and weakness of the flesh. And he even said this recently where he called Israel and Jacob the same name in the same verse that I've said unto you, Israel, I've said unto you, Jacob, because both natures are still in there trying to fight their way out. But I can't in the moment, in the thought, in the appetite, in the attitude, I cannot simultaneously, I cannot live for the self and the Savior. I cannot walk after the flesh and after the Spirit. If I'm going to walk after the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, producing and presenting the fruits of the Holy Ghost, that comes closer, I walk with Him, the result is I'm further from myself, from my sin, from this world. Matthew 6 says, no man can serve two masters. Rather, he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. Reminds me of Exodus 32, and I hope to get past the first point again this week, but we just never know. Because the hour is already late. When Moses comes down off the mountain from getting the tablets, the Ten Commandments, whatever was on there, the law that God wrote down, and he comes down and Joshua meets him down on a lower level and they begin to go even lower and Joshua said, oh, there's the sound of wars in the camp. And Moses says, oh, that's not the sound of war. That's the sound of music and of dancing.
Yes, sir.
There is a music that isn't pleasing to God. And you can't identify the sound of music from the sound of war, the sound of worship from the sound of war. There's a problem with the music service. That's not anything to do with the message either. He comes down around the bend in the curve and he sees the people and he sees the false gods and he sees the nakedness and the dancing. I'd like to get off on that. It's really not the message for tonight. In that story, just about everything was up. Participation was up. Giving was up. They're breaking off their jewelry and throwing it in. Volume was up. Everything was up except for godliness. And Moses smashes those tablets and he makes this statement. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. He made a declarative statement in a question form. If that's bad English. He said, if you're on the Lord's side, come over here. So the Levites come over there. He was saying, if you're going to identify with the Lord, you got to leave over there. You can't stay there. You can't stay with them. You can't be like that and be on God's side. Lord. The songwriter said, you know the song, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will help? Who will be His helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? By Thy call of mercy, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are Thine. And I'd like to get off on that too, because it's only by the mercy and the grace of God that we're on His side to begin with. We get over here, we get cleaned up, and we get made a new creature, and we get running well with God, and all of a sudden the temptations look back at the other side and say, feeling pretty good about myself. It's only by His grace and mercy we made it out of that side to begin with. If it wasn't for the mercy and the good graces of God, we'd all be on our way to a Christless hell. The next verse of the original said, Jesus, Thou hast bought us not with gold or gem, but with Thine own lifeblood for Thy diadem. With Thy blessings filling each who comes to Thee, Thou hast made us willing, Thou hast made us free. By Thy grand redemption, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are Thine. The songwriter went on, fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round His standard ranging, victory is secure, for His truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are Thine. You might know this verse, but I came across it today and I liked it. Another verse to that song originally that says this, chosen to be soldiers in an alien land. Chosen, called, and faithful for our captain's band.
In the service royal, let us not grow cold. Let us be right loyal, noble, true, and bold. Master, wilt thou keep us by thy grace divine, always on the Lord's side. Savior, always thine.
So it's a life, or a life of faith is a life of leaving behind anything that will draw me further from God. Anything that's going to hinder me from getting closer to godliness, to putting on holiness and godliness must be put off. That could be people, it could be philosophies, it could be our own plans. And I can say it this way, others may not be pleased by the leaving. I have no idea what Abraham's family had to say. And if it was me, I hate controversy, I'd have packed up in the night and hauled out of town. Everybody else wakes up and says, anyone seen Abram? Anybody seen Sarai? There'd just be a vacant lot in the middle of the camp. I'd be gone.
Yes, sir.
To be honest, most men wouldn't be gone because their wives would have said, ain't no way. Mama lives right there. Cousin's over there. You got a good job down there. Have you lost your mind? I speak volumes as much about Sarai's faith as I do Abram's. But not everybody's going to be happy with a life of leaving worldliness to pursue godliness. Paul dealt with it with the church at Galatia when he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Galatians 1:10. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So I'd say that, and we'll move on to the second point. If you can't please God and man, please God. If you displease God, it does not matter who you please.
That's right.
And if you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. But a leaving has a marked increase in my appetite for God that is reflected in a decreased appetite for the world. I cannot keep eating at the world table and wondering why I have no appetite for God.
Yes, sir.
Faith involved a leaving. If you look at verse number 9, that first point was under verse number 8, he went out. Verse number 9, his faith involved living. So he left. And now he's going to live. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. This wording is so phenomenal in the King James Bible. The only accurate, complete word of God for the English speaking world, the King James Bible. That he is in the land of promise and he's still sojourning. I mean, you're there. Build a house. Put down roots. Live life to its fullest right there. But it doesn't say that. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Well, this isn't a strange country anymore, Abraham. This is your promised land. Not for him. This was always going to be a strange country in his mind because he wasn't living for that country. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You don't ever read the rest of his life other than that quick trip down to Egypt where he had to get back to Bethel. That Abraham ever lives inside a solid, permanent structure. I'm not saying sell all your houses and buy your yurt. It's tempting. I still pay the mortgage so my wife and kids can keep the house. And I'll go live in the yurt in the back. And that's not fair. His faith involved a leaving. But even when he gets into the land of promise, his faith involved a living that was a sojourning intense. You would think on the surface, he'd find, well, that's a good valley there, good water there, let's just build here. And even when he tells Lot, you go your way and I'll go mine, he's sojourning his whole life. Sojourn means to dwell or live in a place as a temporary resident or as a stranger, not considering the place as permanent habitation. The scriptures say he's in the land of promise already. And Abraham is still living as if he's a foreigner in that land. He's still living in a way where he considers this new promised land strange to him. And the rest of his life is still going to be spent moving from place to place, tent to tent within the promised land. Not knowing where the next place was going to be. But he's going to spend the rest of his life simply living according to God's leading.
Yeah.
That where God says go, I go. Where he says don't go, I don't go. He made mistakes along the way. But he's going to live such a life where he had no ties to this world. But live trusting and obeying God. You see, he had a life that first was preceded by a leaving. And he had been called out and left the world's mindset. And he wasn't going back. He wasn't going back to humanism. He wasn't going to live for himself anymore. He wasn't going to live for this life anymore. He wasn't going to live by human reasoning anymore or his own understanding. He had left. He was in a new life in the land of promise. And he was going to live continually flexible and fluid to follow whatever God had commanded him to do. Wherever the will of God and the word of God took him, that's how he lived. We too are already in the promise. If you have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are already risen and seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. We're already there. That doesn't mean we should be living according to this world. That doesn't mean we should be living more attached to this life than the one to come. Romans chapter 12, you know it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul says, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How unreasonable has that become to this world? You let somebody just say, I am a living sacrifice. I left the world's side. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm a new creature. I'm not just a cleaned up version of the nasty I used to be. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My life, my body, my dreams, my ambitions. I am living temporarily here. Whatever God's word and God's will says. Paul said that's reasonable. This world says that is unreasonable. Carnal Christians say it's unreasonable. And he says, and be not conformed to this world. I don't know how to explain it adequately because I didn't develop this fully. I mean, I can't make it fully dark in here, but you're in the kingdom of darkness. And he translates you into the kingdom of light. You would think that something's going to stand out. How would you ever be comfortable again being conformed to the old kingdom? How does light ever blend in again with darkness? It never can fully. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we too are called out and should not live like what we left. I don't know how to express it tonight. Maybe we'll develop it for next couple Wednesdays out. And it's the age-old question for how to transfer this to the next generation. For them to buy into what we believe, that there's nothing over there for them. That there's nothing in the world for you. There is nothing behind the smoke and mirrors for you. All the bells and the whistles and the fancy bait and the hook shot is just that. It is a hook. Baited with whatever your natural appetite might be for, Satan's very good at it. And you got people, especially our church, a lot of first generation Christians that said, we know what that's like. We weren't 5, 6, 7, 8. We weren't 10, 12 when we got born again. We were 18, 19, 20, 40 when we were translated into the wonderful kingdom of light. Young people, believe me, our adults would cry, don't go over there and try that. You don't have to go off in the darkness to realize I had it real good in the light. But we too are called out and shouldn't live like what we left. Luke 9, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, Paul said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Young people are on my heart recently as well as missions. But young people, this is what it's all about in my mind according to the scriptures. It is not all thou shalt not and all rules and regulations and mom and dad don't we have any fun and they just want me to be their slave and everybody's against me and they just want to control my life. They're trying to keep you from being ensnared and entangled in things they know too much about. We're called out and shouldn't live like what we left. If he has made us free, we sung about it, the light flamed, the chains fell off, then let's not go back and start picking up the links and the cuffs and putting them back on. It's not all about being better than everybody else.
It's not all about a list of all the things I can and cannot do. It is the fact that there are people that say, I love Jesus Christ and I want to live for Jesus Christ, and I cannot do that if I'm entangled and ensnared in the things of this world.
We're called to leave behind the world and the flesh, to lay aside the weights and the sin, and live unto godliness and holiness. I don't know if you have to turn a page or not, but we'll get there eventually. But chapter 12, verse 1, if you look there, of Hebrews, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to Hebrews 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Talking about faith involves a living. Pausing for a reason to just to think and to see both of the points we've talked about. The Christian life of faith is so much more than just the leaving. In that I don't go there and I don't do that, and we don't wear this and we don't go with them and we don't go around that. It's not all about the leaving. It's about the living. Hebrews 12:1 makes it very clear. It's not enough just to lay aside. It's not enough just to leave off the weights and to leave off the sins that beset us. But he says, lay aside and let us run. Amen. It's not enough just to leave off and be against and separate from all the wrong things and be against all worldliness. What are we doing? What are we living for? Where are we going? Life is more than putting off, but than putting on. Ephesians 4, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Baptists especially have got a bad name on this, because fundamentalism has been known for everything they're against. And very few can identify and speak articulately, is that the word? I don't know. Speak with some knowledge and some authority on what they're for. Well, we don't go to the movies. I do. We don't drink. I don't. I should stop with the list because I'm going to confuse somebody. We don't. Our girls wear this and our boys wear that, and we cut our hair like this and we sing this and we don't go there. And that's all good and right, but that's all we ever do is leave off. What's the point? God said in the faith of Abraham, he's going to leave and he's going to live. I'm not just against everything for being against everything's sake, but it is the freedom that comes from being separated from all that to live unto Jesus Christ. Because you can't do both. If there's no leaving, there'll be no living. But if there is no living, what was the point in leaving? We have been given liberty in Christ for a reason. But by faith, we are to be aliens and strangers here. No more ties to anything or anyone that leaves God out. No longer living according to self or sin. The songwriter said it, the kids would even know, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Where we grow a little less attached to the things of this life and more attached to the country to which we are headed. And that's the last point tonight. By faith in verse number 8, there's a leaving. Verse 9, by faith there's a living. He's just sojourning. But it wasn't just for the sake of saying he was better than everybody else or anything else. There's a reason he was sojourning. There's a reason he was going to be peculiar and strange in this world. Because of verse 10. Because there was a looking. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. To be well-rounded, and I'm working on that physically, but to be mature believers, there has to be, and sometimes there has to be, a continued leaving, a putting off of this world, a continued living, because there is a looking. While waiting even for that promised son, Abraham kept his eyes on more than just the temporal, earthly matters at hand, and constantly kept his eyes on eternal matters. He was living in the earthly promise, but he was living for the eternal promise. He could say, all right, I've left. God has shown me where to go. Let's set down roots and call this home. And Abraham said, oh no. That's not all there was to this promise, and that all there is this life and no more. But I'm looking for a city that is to come. I'm looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. And one of the ways Abraham lived so well down here is he always kept his attention up there. The times he didn't, he faltered. The times he got his eyes off on the earthly kingdoms and the earthly kings, fear won. But the times where Abraham lived with his eyes locked onto that city that human eyes could not see, but a heart of faith could see, he did just fine. And one of the things Abraham did when he was running well is he built altars wherever he would go. He'd go to this place and he'd build an altar. He'd worship God, commune with God, spend time with God. He'd go to the next place, he'd build another one. Many of them did that. He was constantly reminding himself of God's presence, of God's promise. Everywhere he went, he wanted to be aware of God. Everywhere he traveled, he wanted to be in the spirit of worship and communication with God. Can I say this? If we only commune with God at church, we're in trouble. If we don't think of spiritual, eternal matters when we're reminded of them within these four walls, we'll be weak in faith. We'll find ourselves where we begin to fail at living according to His word and His will. And we'll be sliding back into where we came from. For there to be a leaving and a living, that running well, there's got to be a looking. We've got to stop living like this life is all there is. Faith sees what is yet to come. And there are those that say things like this. There are those that are so heavenly minded they are no earthly good. Most of us don't have a problem with that. But there has to be that balance of being heavenly minded and earthly minded. For the priority is given to the things of heaven. 1 John 2, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we only look and live for this life, we're only going to obtain what passes away. There's got to be something where we are, with God's help, each day, waking up, refocused, renewed, reprioritizing, knowing where we have left and why, for the freedom that is found in Christ to live for Christ, that is found in looking at eternal matters rather than earthly matters. Somebody said it this way: if we live for the next world, we get this one in the deal too. But if we live for this world, we lose them both. And I don't mean lose your salvation. I don't have time to develop that fully tonight. You're in, you're in. But there's more than one way to stand before Christ one day. Everything can burn up or something can be left over. You go to Colossians 3, we're all done there. Colossians chapter 3. Just say we got to consistently look up in order to live better down here. Where we live looking with eyes of faith toward heaven in order to live well here on earth. Colossians chapter 3, I believe you'd be familiar with this when we get there. Of course, it's Wednesday night and it's almost 8 o'clock, so I'm trying to find Colossians. Isn't that great? Colossians chapter 3. Just keep in mind as we read this, just going to read this text and be done, that I'm going to leave off anything or anyone hindering my faith. Leaving anything or anyone forsaking all that keeps me from being closer to God. I'm going to live under the word and the will of God while looking to the city which is yet to come. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Should just read the text without comment because we're out of time. When we used to be dead in sin, he quickened us and made us alive in Christ. And the theme of Paul's life was, now I choose to die to self, that Christ might live through me. So many passages about that. So now he's saying, oh, you aren't dead in sin like you used to be, but the whole idea is you're dead to self and Jesus lives through you. Verse 3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if I'm dead and my life is hid, then what is it all about? When Christ, who is our life, for years I've had that in parentheses, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. And then to overemphasize the point, the Holy Ghost told Paul, keep writing. That when Christ is your life, not just a piece of your life, but when Jesus Christ is your life, the chapter doesn't end with everything that you don't do. Life doesn't end with everything that you put off. But in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the thing of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Another overemphasizing maybe. But you say, how am I going to do this? The putting off and the putting on, the living right. Oh yes, I have to look towards eternal matters, looking for that city which is to come. But how do I get myself refocused onto eternal matters? The Holy Ghost said, put it down, Paul. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Yes.
In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, there's the living, here's the looking, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And you say, all right, say amen, let's go home. Well, unfortunately for all of us who like to walk in the flesh, not like to, but oftentimes find ourselves struggling with the flesh more than living by faith. The Holy Ghost said, Paul, give them some examples. Make the rubber meet the road. But if I'm leaving and putting off and saying that I'm living and putting on by looking to Jesus Christ through the Word of God, it's going to show up at home. I mean, it gets real practical all of a sudden. When he says, when there's a leaving and there's a living and there's a looking, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. Where are we? Verse 20? Yeah. Children, obey your parents in all things. Keep losing my place here, apparently. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all. And all our children are saying, move on. And I'm not as spiritual as I can pretend to be on Wednesday nights.
Continue.
So our kids are more into Bible devotions, family prayer time, on nights where I don't feel like it. I'm not very good at it. Don't pretend to be. More times than not in recent weeks, being in the flesh, they'll come in and say, but there hasn't been a Bible study yet. And I'm like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's your Bible story. Get that one. We'll move on to the next one. That's not saying that's right to say. So now all I have to say when they come in and say, what's the Bible story? I say, children. And they're like, obey your parents. I'm in the flesh. They're in the flesh. We all go to bed mad and we try again the next day. Just saying, it's well-pleasing unto the Lord when children obey your parents in all things. When husbands love their wives and don't harbor this anger and bitterness against them. When wives submit to their husbands as their head. We'll get another passage here in the future here. But Sarah did call Abraham Lord. Little L. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. It's a constant looking and focusing on the heavenlies. On God Himself, in order to do this, these things, in order to leave and live, there has to be this looking. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. How many times can he emphasize here in this other book? You've got to keep your eyes on Christ. You've got to live to please Christ, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. There's that word again. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And now I'm wishing I had to cut off a few verses ago because I'm getting convicted. Paul tells them over and over again, you leave what you should, you live in what you should, you look to Christ. God will take care of the rest. God will reward those that are his that live for him, and God will take care of those who don't. We must have the faith of Abraham that leaves, lives, and looks. I had a paper I can't find, because it's in my bag probably. Oh no, actually it's right there. I don't remember. I think it's Isaiah. This has been the book of Isaiah. Has been in my Bible for a number of years. And I remembered it the other day because it's all L's. That there's going to be a leaving and a living and a looking. It really all boils down to my longing and my loving. It said, all it says is 40, verse 25 to 31. I think it's Isaiah, but I didn't write down the book when at the time. This is old. But I wrote down the word look, longing, loving, and living. It's kind of what we're trying to say in a nutshell. There's got to be a leaving, a living, and a looking. It really all boils down to my longing and my loving. If I love him, I keep his commandments. It's just a natural byproduct. Amen. I don't keep his commandments to prove that I love him. It's a natural outpouring of my love is obedience to Christ. If I love the Lord Jesus Christ like I should because he first loved me, I'll be looking to the things of eternity. I'll be living how I should be, putting on that which I should. I'll be leaving and leaving off that which I should not. It's all, so there's got to be a balance, a well-rounded, mature believer. And it is a journey. It was a lifelong journey for Abraham. It will be for us, but we can have this type of a faith.